Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
We don't want your rice.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The European Union doesn't like what's showing up in American rice. It's likely to announce restrictions today on imports of the long-grained variety. Japan banned the stuff over the weekend. It's all after traces of genetically modified rice were found mixed into commercial supplies. Ashley Milne-Tite reports on how the ban will hit the U.S. in the pocketbook.
Last year, Europe imported more than $70 million worth of U.S. long-grain rice. Bruce Babcock of Iowa State University says the EU isn't likely to introduce an all-out ban, but it could put testing requirements in place, which it's done in the past. But testing is expensive. Babcock says the U.S. has largely abandoned exporting beef to the EU because of hormone testing requirements.
So once a regulation has been passed, then United States exporters can decide, is it worth meeting the regulations or is it not? And if it's not, then they have to go and try to get the regulations relaxed or don't export to Europe.
The biggest export market for rice is South America. So far, no one there has raised concerns. Babcock says that's because plenty of South American countries are busily planting GM crops of their own. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Now, here's a way to enforce immigration laws. Sue. A group of businesses in California filed a lawsuit Tuesday against rivals they claim put them at a competitive disadvantage by hiring illegal immigrants. New numbers show immigration isn't just a thorny issue, of course, here in the United States. The British government says over the last 2 years alone, more than 500,000 Eastern Europeans have flocked to Britain to work. Marketplace's Stephen Beard says the figures have revived a debate in the UK about the economic benefits and drawbacks of large-scale immigration.
Since 8 East European countries joined the European Union 2 years ago, up to 600,000 of their citizens have come to Britain. The short-term benefits to the UK have been undeniable. Virtually all the immigrants have found work, filling skill shortages or doing jobs that the Brits don't want to do. But the country is now bracing itself for a new wave of immigration if Bulgaria and Romania join the Union next year. Damian Green of the opposition Conservative Party is calling for curbs for the sake of large numbers of unskilled, unemployed young Brits.
We've got 1 million under 25s not in education, employment or training. If every time there's a labour shortage in a particular sector or a particular area, new people coming to take those jobs, then it'll be much more difficult to retrain that whole generation.
Several government ministers are also known to be uneasy about the current high level of immigration. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Further evidence that populist video sharing sites are hot and that everybody wants to be YouTube. Sony today announced it bought up a rival and not quite as successful site. It's called Grouper, and Sony's forking over $65 million for it. Not a lot of oomph on Wall Street Tuesday. The Dow closed down 5 to 11,340. The NASDAQ closed up 2 to 2150. And the S&P closed up a point to 1298. And you are listening to Marketplace. Here's a new way to combat global warming. Insure yourself against it. Janet Babin looks at a new report from an environmental business group.
The CERA's report found more than 180 new types of insurance plans in the works. Some would protect companies against possible catastrophes from global warming. Others would insure renewable energy developers against product failure. AIG, the world's largest insurer, is close to unveiling its own policies to protect against climate change. Chris Winans says his clients were asking for more choices.
We're looking for ways to help our clients respond to the pressures that they're under to deal with the problem.
If last year's severe weather is any indication, businesses will likely hoard the extra insurance. Offshore oil producers in the Gulf of Mexico had $10 billion in insured losses. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. More at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. Today we get word from the National Association of Realtors on how many existing homes sold across the nation in July. The numbers are likely to show a continued softening in the housing market. Parts of California, home sales have already fallen an average of 29%. Jeff Tyler looks at one possible reason for the dip.
For decades, pop music has touted California as the destination.
Well, I'm going to California, bye-bye soon.
But California Dreamin' and California Reality are very different things.
I got the California blues.
A study produced by the moving company United Van Lines shows that in 2005 and the first half of this year, more Americans checked out of Hotel California than checked in. Foreign immigration continues to bulk up California's total population, but United Van Lines spokeswoman Jennifer Bonham says domestic patterns reflect a demographic reversal.
It has been more than 10 years since California has seen that many people leave, and most people seem to be moving towards the West, with the exception of California.
Jobs are also moving away. Jack Kaiser is chief economist with the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation. He says employers pay more here for workers' comp, overtime, and paid family leave. Kaiser says companies increasingly expand elsewhere.
It's difficult to do business in the state of California. It's expensive to hire anybody.
It's also an expensive place to live. Housing prices have skyrocketed.
Although the home values have gone up, the quality of living has not. And it's very expensive to live here. So I think a lot of people are looking at that and thinking they can take the equity that they have in a home, go someplace else, and live a better quality of life.
That's Pamela Perella. She does customer service for Gemini Moving Specialists. She gets lots of calls about relocating out of California.
I talk to people all day long every day that are doing it, but I'm thinking of doing it myself.
After more than 40 years in California, Perella's ready for a change. Maybe Texas or North Carolina. In Tennessee, Perella says a 2,000-square-foot house is downright affordable.
For $200,000, you can buy a very nice home that you couldn't buy here for probably $600,000.
Economist Jack Kaiser says, get this, some of the folks moving out of state keep their California day jobs.
People who might live in Las Vegas and they can fly into either Burbank or Los Angeles International on Southwest first thing in the morning and then fly out in the evening, and then they don't have the hassle of the high income taxes in the state of California. There is no income tax in the state of Nevada.
And it's not just Californians. Overall, for Americans looking to relocate, the favorite state is no. United Van Lines study shows the most popular state among movers is Oregon. In Los Angeles, and happy about it, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Me too. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
In New York City, $250 a night.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.